Welcome back. Our next case is United States v. Rocha. Because this is a TJAG certified case, the government will argue first. So Major Lee, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the government?
Yes, sir.
And Major Crouch, are you prepared to argue on behalf of Appalee?
Yes, sir.
Very well then, please proceed.
Chief Judge Olson, members of the court, may it please the court, I am Major Kate Lee, and along with Ms. Mary Ellen Payne, we represent the United States. Chief Judge Olson had respectfully requested to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Air Force Court's decision in this case consists of three intertwined legal errors, each building on the last. One, AFCA disregarded this court's careful description of the asserted liberty interest as sex acts with a childlike sex doll by broadly describing it as mere masturbation instead, which, too, resulted in a flawed and imprecise application of Lawrence v. Texas, that, three, tainted the lower court's factual sufficiency review, which revolved around Lawrence instead of the elements and their definitions. Because there is, at the very least, an open question whether the lower court was correctly applying legal principles, this court should reverse and remand for a new factual sufficiency review. Your Honor, I want to start by talking about the lower court's and this court's specific mandate. When this court remanded this case last year, it specifically instructed the lower court to determine whether or not appellee had a constitutionally protected liberty interest in sex acts with a childlike sex doll. Instead of analyzing the interest on those terms, the lower court broadly described it as masturbation. And by reclassifying this conduct as a very generic category of behavior, the lower court failed to recognize that when this court gave it a specific mandate, it did so because it wanted the lower court to look at that specific issue. Had this court wanted the lower court to just address any remaining assignments of error, which included this Lawrence issue, it could have sent the case back with a general mandate, but it didn't. And so the lower court, by treating this specific mandate like a general one, erred from the get-go. And because that, as the baseline, formed the entirety of their decision, we know for a fact that their decision is consists of legal error from the very start.
So what about the fact that the CCA wrote that appellant, quote, had a constitutionally protected liberty interest to privately engage in sexual activities with his doll, end quote. Why wasn't that in compliance with our mandate?
Well, Your Honor, because the mandate specifically articulated a childlike sex doll, which I think is a fair way for this court to summarize five key aspects of this case, which included appellee's own description of the doll as basically a child sex doll or a doll of a child, the witness testimony, which everyone who saw the doll and testified about it at trial described it in terms related to children or child-sized or childlike. The charge in this case, which specifically alleged that he engaged in sex acts with a doll with the physical characteristics of a child, the military judge's findings of fact in this case, wherein the military judge considered this very constitutional issue, he found that the doll was about 35 inches long and had the appearance of a child. And then fifth, there was no evidence anywhere in the record that suggested anyone thought that this doll was an adult. And so based on those things, it was fair for this court to describe the doll as childlike and to require the lower court to analyze the doll as a childlike sex doll, or more specifically what was charged, which is a sex doll with the physical characteristics of a child. But by ignoring that very important physical, observable aspect of the object with which the accused was engaged, with which appellee was engaging in his conduct, the Air Force Court was essentially dodging a very important part of its of the question that it needed to answer. And that's why
I'm sorry, I don't finish your sentence. I don't want to cut you off.
And that's why, Your Honor, that the Air Force Court's sentence to that regard is not sufficient to satisfy this court's very specific mandate.
So, counsel, stepping back out of, because it's, as Chief Judge noted, when if you do a side-by-side of this court's decretal paragraph and the AFCC's conclusion, the only word that is dropped out is childlike. So are you saying that the fact that it was a childlike sex doll is dispositive of the constitutionally protected liberty at stake?
Yeah, I think if I'm understanding your question correctly, yes, Your Honor, because a constitution, when a court is considering whether there is a protected liberty interest, it has to start with a careful description of the asserted liberty interest. And I think that's what this court was doing when it sent back that specific decretal paragraph in its mandate. And so for the Air Force Court to disregard that very specific and careful description and instead use much broader and generic terms is inappropriate because you can't revise the test question. The Air Force Court was given a specific question to answer, and it should have answered that question. But by analyzing appellee's conduct as just generic masturbation, private masturbation, they were implicating a much broader category of conduct, which on its face, of course, doesn't sound criminal, masturbation by itself, but a lot of things fit under generic, non-criminal sounding umbrella terms, but just that doesn't mean they're any less criminal. Just because a junkie calls his fentanyl abuse pain management doesn't mean we can't prosecute him for drug abuse. So in the same manner, just because appellee at the lower level was calling his conduct masturbation doesn't mean that the Air Force Court had to agree, much less find that since it fits under that category that it should be constitutionally protected.
But they found that he had a constitutional right to masturbate with his doll, the one in the pictures in the case, that doll. And isn't that the core question that we asked them to answer? Does he have a liberty interest in masturbating with that doll? Like, it seems like they answered that question and they said yes. Now, you might disagree, we might disagree, but didn't they answer the question?
You know, I suppose, yes, they did answer at least part of this court's question, but the way they answered that question also, I think going back to the point about analyzing using a careful description, they disregarded that careful description, and although they said, yes, he had a liberty interest in having sex with his doll, I think the fact that they reached that conclusion itself is error because it's an unprecedented expansion of Lawrence v. Texas. And so it's not just the fact that they might have disregarded this court's specific mandate in answering the question, it's also the manner in which they answered the question and the result that is also legal error because Lawrence has never been extended to protect such behavior and should not, especially given the childlike nature of the doll, which does, although it doesn't implicate real people, it still implicates a category of behavior that Lawrence has specifically exempted from its protections.
Counsel, do we need to decide the constitutional issue? And what I'd like to focus on is on Joint Appendix page 39, which is the lower court's opinion. You recall that the military judge required the government to prove an aggravating factor, specifically that he not only engaged in the sexual acts, but he did so, quote, to simulate sexual acts with a minor. And there was a 917 motion on it, and the judge sustained that, and the panel found him guilty. But on page JA39, the court says, we're not convinced that appellant was pretending to have sexual relations intercourse with a child. And they go through all the evidence of what he talked about. Isn't that an independent ground, just based on factual sufficiency, that one of the items that they had to prove wasn't proved? And why would we decide the constitutional issue if the CCA gave this independent ground, which is just one of the elements of what the government had to prove, was not proved?
Well, I think because the CCA, in reaching that conclusion and then doing no further analysis on the indecent element, erred because I think the CCA didn't recognize that when a military judge gave that as the only aggravating circumstance to the fact finder, he was in a way unfairly limiting the government's ability to present the aggravating circumstances. If you drill down to where the requirement for the aggravating circumstance came from, we get to a case called United States versus Berry.
But wasn't this aggravating circumstance once suggested by the government?
It was one of several, Your Honor, but it wasn't the only one, and the government proffered several that the military judge declined to instruct on.
But that was because the government hadn't offered sufficient proof of the other ones, wasn't it?
Well, Your Honor, it was because I think the military judge disagreed that it was a relevant aggravating circumstance. But importantly, one thing that I think the military judge did not recognize and that the CCA did not seem to recognize is that the nature of the doll being pled in the specification itself was itself an aggravating circumstance. Because if you think about it, if the government had only charged the sexual act without describing the doll, that offense, that specification would not really state an offense. And so the fact that the government pleaded the language, a doll with the physical characteristics of a female child, that the nature of that object is one of the reasons that the conduct was indecent and aggravating and not just wholly private sexual conduct. It's like in Sanchez, where the accused was charged with penetrating the rectum of a chicken, and that was indecent. The nature of the object or the thing on which a person might be performing sexual acts can it by itself make conduct indecent. And I would note that the Air Force Court's opinion doesn't discuss whatsoever why a doll with the physical characteristics of a female child, why having sex with a doll like that would not be grossly vulgar, repugnant to common propriety, how that doesn't excite depraved morals with respect to sexual relations. The Air Force Court's discussion of the indecent element doesn't actually discuss any of those things and focuses solely on Lawrence and Markham and this single aggravating circumstance that...
Getting back to the question here, I thought the government's argument in its briefs, and even at the beginning of your oral argument today, was essentially this. The military judge provided instructions to the panel. The instruction was, in terms of the Markham factor, that the accused engaged in sexual acts with a sex doll with the physical characteristics of a child to simulate sexual acts with a minor. And I thought the government's position was that can actually be divided into two parts, the objective part and the subjective part. The fact that the panel found that that factor was there means the panel had to have found both the objective and the subjective. And I thought it was the government's position that the objective part, standing alone, serves as a legitimate governmental interest for the government to proscribe this behavior. And that what happened here is the CCA focused on the subjective part and did not really examine the objective part. Am I misstating or misunderstanding the government's argument?
No, Your Honor. I think that's you summarized an important point really well for me, so thank you, sir.
So your point then would be that this court needs to remand the case to the CCA for another factual sufficiency review because, in fact, they misunderstood a legal point that was an inherent part of a proper analysis here.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But when this court remands, I think given that this court gave the lower court an opportunity to consider the Lawrence question, which is a question of law, and the lower court did not follow the mandate to a T as it should have, the question is now properly before this court, and this court should decide the Lawrence question itself and find that sex with a sex doll that has the physical characteristics of a child is not constitutionally protected because, as the Supreme Court has recently indicated in Dobbs, the bar for finding something to be a fundamental right is quite high. And unless it's in the Constitution, which there is no right in the Constitution to have sex with a doll, like the one in this case, and unless it's deeply objectively rooted in our nation's history, then there probably is not a fundamental right there. And I think it's fair to say, given that the average reasonable person would find it detestable, the idea of sex with a child detestable, I think it's fair to say that sex with a doll that has the physical characteristics of a female child would give the average person concern and should give the average person concern and is certainly something that the government has a rational basis for prescribing, given that allowing such behavior could contribute to pedophilic urges, and we have an interest in curbing those.
Counsel, I'm sorry, I just want to get clarification. Is it your position that the government was not required to prove that aggravating factor?
Your Honor, there... So the judge instruct...
I just want to be clear. The aggravating factor...
To simulate sexual acts with a minor. Is it your position that the government didn't have to prove that?
Your Honor, it's our position that the government didn't have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt, because if you look at the model bench book instruction, it doesn't say that that is something that needs to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, because it's not instructed on as an element per se.
But how did the government preserve that argument? I mean, this was the whole way the trial was conducted based on that. That was an element that was an aggravating factor suggested by the government. It was instructed to the panel. And now you say, well, and the panel says, and the Air Force Court says, well, we're not convinced they proved it. And now you say, well, they didn't have to prove it. How did the government preserve its argument that it did not have to prove that aggravating factor?
Your Honor, recognizing that we have not made this particular argument before, one reason we take issue with the Air Force Court's decision in that regard is that it's the reason the Air Force Court reached that particular decision about the aggravating factor is based on its erroneous factual sufficiency review. Part of the reason they reached that conclusion is because they said the doll could also be a young adult. But as this court has said, the CCAs cannot exercise their fact-finding power in a manner contrary to what reasonable people would conclude. And when everyone who has seen the doll is describing it as childlike, and when the doll, which is 35 inches long, has no pubic hair, has no breast development, no hip development, and for all objective purposes, has the characteristics that you would see on a female child, when everyone else agrees and the Air Force Court doesn't, I think it's fair to say that they might be exercising their fact-finding power unreasonably. Your Honor, I see my time has expired.
Further questions?
I have one. Getting back to the sort of following up on the Chief's question about the objective part of the aggravating factor versus the subjective part, the CCA said that criminal persecution for pretending without more is improper criminal prosecution for bad thoughts. Does the government have any response to that holding of the CCA?
Your Honor, we'd absolutely agree that the government can't just prosecute people for bad thoughts. I think that's a well-settled principle of law. But in this case, we weren't prosecuting appellee for bad thoughts without more. We're prosecuting him for engaging in vaginal and anal sex with a 3-foot-long doll that had the physical characteristics of a child. So although we understand the Air Force Court's concern, I think it misses the mark because that's not actually what the government was trying to do here.
And so it's the government's position that it does not matter what he was thinking about when he engaged in its act. It's just the act alone that creates the criminal liability.
Your Honor, ultimately, yes. If the act itself is indecent, regardless of what the accused or the appellee was thinking at the time, then I think that is, if the act itself is what makes it vulgar and repugnant to common propriety, and having sex with a doll that looks like, that has the characteristics of a female child, I think is grossly vulgar, then that objective portion of the conduct should have weighed, or should have meant something, and that's certainly something that the Air Force Court should have looked at and did not appear to have done.
But then, counsel, that goes back to Judge Maggs's question then, with regards to the subjective portion of that instruction and the lower court's conclusion that the government had not proved that. You just said it doesn't matter what the accused thought. Well, the whole back end of this instruction to simulate sexual acts with a minor, that's what the accused was thinking when he was masturbating with the doll. So which one is it? Because if the government is saying, well, no, we don't, the subjective act portion is not what we're trying to prove up. We're proving up the objective act. It doesn't matter what he was thinking because we cannot criminalize that. Then how do we reconcile that with this instruction that was given and the CCA's conclusion?
Well, and I think the idea of simulating sex with a minor, that itself includes an objective and subjective component. What the appellee was thinking at the time, in this case, he was thinking about these lollies, which are underage cartoon characters, and what the conduct actually simulates, which is sex. It physically simulates sex with a minor because it's appellee was having sex with this human-shaped doll that is the size of an average child. So it physically simulates sex with a minor, and appellee himself said that doll was always intended to represent a lolly, these underage characters, so he was thinking about it. And that is evidence that a note is also not discussed in the Air Force Court's opinion. So there's a question as to whether or not the Air Force Court truly weighed all the evidence as they are required to do in their factual sufficiency review.
Chief, I'd like to pose a question and maybe counsel can come back on rebuttal to answer it, and we can move on here. The question, assuming we get to the constitutional issue, where does the fact that the offense, as alleged, occurred in the barracks as opposed to somewhere out in town or something like that, is it to be considered as one of the factors in determining the constitutional how constitutional or not the conduct is, or is it a separate kind of a extra step we take because of we're the military society, and that should be considered only on the issue of whether or not it's service discrediting given the military's interest in good order and discipline, guarding against discrediting conduct? That's the question. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can come back.
No, I would prefer you to answer it now, Major Lee.
Yes, Your Honor. So the fact that the conduct occurred in the military dorm room is absolutely critical to the constitutional question, Your Honor, because, one, Lawrence protects private consensual sexual activity between adults in the privacy of their home. And a military dorm room is inherently different from a home. The fact that this doll was found during a dorm inspection, I think, highlights that fact. A dorm inspection is without equal in the civilian world. Nobody can come into your private home off base and inspect it to make sure that you've made your bed, thrown out your trash, and hung up your uniform. So in that sense, the military dorm room is very different in terms of the degree of privacy a person actually has. And so in that way, the dorm room almost takes the conduct outside the bounds of the Lawrence liberty interest itself because it's not occurring in a private home. But assuming...
Counsel, how do you distinguish Barisex by Barisox? And you hate to get into the geography of the room, but the difference between being in a shared barracks room, so you have bed on one side, bed on the other side, versus my understanding of how these rooms were set up, the appellee had his own room, private room, someone else had their own room, and there was a shared common area. Does that in any way for the government change that analysis? Does because you just said the degree of privacy in a military dorm room, well, does that raise or lower it by virtue of the fact that he in fact had a private room?
Well, obviously shared dorm rooms are very different from having a private room, but that private room is still in a shared dormitory that's subject to inspection. But even assuming that...
So for the government, is it the fact that those rooms are subject to inspection? Is that the dispositive distinction?
That is one of the distinctions, Your Honor. And I think another distinction is the reason that we have these dorm rooms that are subject to inspection. It's because we want to ensure the readiness and morale and welfare of our troops because that's really important to our ability to raise the armed forces. And I think that is a military-specific requirement and consideration that would also take appellee's conduct outside the bounds of the Lawrence liberty interest if it even applied because He is living on a military installation and is part of an armed force that has very much an interest in maintaining good order and discipline, but also in maintaining its reputation outside the service, because it's so critical as an all-volunteer force to our ability to maintain the armed forces and defend the nation.
Further questions? Seeing none, thank you, Major Lee. Major Crouch.
Good morning, Chief Judge Olson, members of the court. May it please the court. I am Major Megan Crouch, and along with my co-counsel, Ms. Megan Marinos, we represent Airman Zachary Rocha. The Air Force Court correctly concluded Airman Rocha's conviction was factually insufficient because the lower court was not convinced that the doll was childlike as charged. The lower court did not err in its factual sufficiency determination. Therefore, this court does not need to reach the constitutional issue. But even if it does, Airman Rocha's conduct was constitutionally protected.
Major Crouch, in this court's earlier opinion, did this court improperly engage in fact-finding?
If this court reads that the sentences that the court included in its opinion about it being a prepubescent child and holding the Air Force Court to that, then yes, Your Honor, it did engage in fact-finding. And the Air Force Court, I mean, this court even said in its opinion that the Air Force Court had not conducted its own fact-finding and that this court would not touch the constitutional issue until the lower court did engage in its own fact-finding. I don't think that's what this court was doing, was holding.
Well, how is this court, in the prior opinion, engaging in fact-finding? We've got a situation where the military judge made a factual finding. There was uncontroverted evidence in the record, uncontroverted, that this was a doll that looked childlike. So in the course of this court framing and phrasing the mandate, how was this court engaging in improper fact-finding?
Your Honor,
we had a military judge's factual finding that was not either controverted by the record, nor did the CCA hold otherwise.
Your Honor, I don't believe that this court was engaging in fact-finding. I think that the Air Force Court...
So the CCA, when it accused this court of improperly engaging in fact-finding, you're not agreeing with the CCA?
Correct, Your Honor. I do not believe that this court was engaging in fact-finding. Given the issue that was before this court previously, I understand why this court would include those references or those statements in its background. And this court also recognized that the Air Force Court had not conducted its own fact-finding. And so understanding that the lower court was obligated under Article 66 to do its statutory requirement to do a legal and factual review of this case, it had to do its own fact-finding. One of the elements of the offense is that Airman Rocha engaged in sexual acts with a doll that had the physical characteristics of a female child. So it had to make a determination. Did the government prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, that he, one, engaged in sexual acts with a doll, and two, that it had the physical characteristics of a female child? And what the court said is that it was not convinced. It said that...
So, but in doing so, a CCA cannot just pull things out of nowhere. The CCA was confronted with a factual finding by the military judge in this case. The CCA did not say in its opinion that that finding by the military judge was clearly erroneous. There is no evidence in this record that the CCA points to that would indicate it was anything other than a childlike sex doll.
Your Honor, I would disagree with that in the sense that the court had to do its own fact-finding, which meant it had to look at everything in the record to include the photographs. And it could disregard all of the statements by the witnesses because when
it and how does it get past the military judge's factual finding without saying on the record that that factual finding was clearly erroneous?
Because it has to do its own fact-finding under Article 6.
So it just, a CCA just ignores factual findings from a military judge?
No, Your Honor. The CCA can't be held to what a military judge is a finding of fact when the element of the offense requires the CCA to determine.
Did the CCA point to anything for its conclusion? Did the CCA say, we looked at the photographs that are in the record, and based on those photographs, contrary to what the military judge found, contrary to the admission by the accused that it was childlike, we are going to ignore all that?
Yeah, I don't think that's required when the court is conducting its own Article 66 plenary de novo review of the evidence. And what it did say is that it looked at the doll and said that it was not convinced the only rational interpretation of the evidence in this case is that the doll resembled a child and not a young-looking adult.
So is a CCA's factual sufficiency review completely bulletproof or consistent with our precedent? Does it have to be a situation where, I don't have the exact language in front of me, but essentially that they can't conclude something that no reasonable person would have concluded based on the evidence in front of them?
Your Honor, I'm trying to figure out how to answer your question. And there were three reasonable judges on this panel. They were not convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that this doll was childlike.
So how can you distinguish that from any other case where defense counsel would come up and say, had three judges who decided this, is it the defense position that when it comes to factual sufficiency review, that it is completely bulletproof? Everything in the record entirely could say that something was black. And a CCA says, no, we're not convinced that it was white. Based on your understanding, there is no ability of this court to say there has to be some very high level of standard safety valve that says if no reasonable person would go along with that, then that is not something that this court is bound by in terms of what the CCA has done here.
Your Honor, understanding this court's precedent that this court reviews a lower court's factual sufficiency determination for the application of correct legal principles. And this court has also said that this court will remand for a new factual sufficiency review if the lower court was acting under equitable purposes or because they just don't think that something should be a crime.
So this court has stated that CCA cannot exercise its fact-finding power in a manner contrary to what all reasonable people would conclude. That's our case law.
Yes, Your Honor. And understanding that the hypothetical that you proposed, I think that we would be much closer to that scenario, but that's not the case here, in that the Air Force Court had the chance to look at the doll and determined that that was one of the elements that wasn't met, but there were other elements.
But where does the CCA have the courage of its convictions? It doesn't say, in its opinion, despite the factual finding from the military judge, despite the fact that the accused conceded, it's kind of obvious that it's a sex doll. That was from the accused. Despite the fact that witnesses all say it's a childlike sex doll, the CCA doesn't even say, no, this is not, we have concluded it did not look childlike. Doesn't even have the courage of its convictions. is simply is out there with a phrasing that really doesn't go to the point and doesn't wrestle at all with any of the evidence that demonstrates that it was childlike.
Your Honor, it states that it's not convinced that the only rational interpretation is that the doll resembled a child and not a young-looking doll. And then it goes on to say that at most, this is a lifelike doll that may resemble a child. But even if this Court thinks that there's a problem with that factual sufficiency determination?
Yes. The CCA does say that. It says, at most, he was sticking his penis into this childlike, lifelike sex doll, which is kind of an interesting statement in terms of having a member of the United States military in government quarters with a childlike, lifelike sex doll made of silicone, has oral openings, anal openings, vaginal openings, emits sexual moaning when it's activated, vibrates. He does it in government quarters. And the CCA says, at most, he was engaging in sex with this doll.
Your Honor, I'm not sure what the question proposed to me is. And
your point being that by saying, at most, this was the case, that they concluded what? That it didn't matter?
The Court found that the government did not prove the elements of the offense to include that the doll had the physical characteristics of a female child and also that the conduct was indecent or that it was service discrediting. And understanding that this Court does not engage in its own fact-finding and that it looks at whether the lower court applied the correct legal principles or is that what you have said, one of the other things this Court evaluates, we're not there for
Counsel,
that.
Can we talk about the service discrediting? I mean, that's what the CCA says in the second to last paragraph of its opinion. It says it's not service crediting, but it doesn't really address that in any detail elsewhere in the opinion. I mean, I assume that the CCA can just find, we don't find it to be service discrediting in this case. I mean, it's a question of fact. But what do we make of it when that's just sort of tacked on at the end of everything else?
Your Honor, they do mention it one other time, and they talk about how they acknowledge, because the government brought it up in briefing, about any potential discredit, but they don't say, we find that there is, that this is of a nature, but we're going to ignore it anyway, and we think Florence should apply. They talk about a potential. So they do reference it, but the reality is they didn't, they found that that element wasn't met. And it makes sense because they didn't find the doll was childlike. And so because they didn't find the doll was childlike, they didn't find, I think it goes hand in hand, and they didn't find with that the conduct was indecent and that it was service discrediting. I don't think those all rely on them finding that the doll was not childlike, but that's a piece that goes into the consideration.
Major Crook, I can't remember, and I, in this case, is this appellate review by the CCA before the new Article 66 or after? Do you?
Your Honor, this is under the old plenary, awesome plenary de novo power of Article 66. Yes, Your Honor. So understanding that there were those three bases, that those elements, the court found that the government did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt those three elements of the offense, as well as Judge Maggs, what you brought up about the aggravating factor. And the government said that they believe that the factual sufficiency review was tainted because of the constitutional question and the remand. But the factual sufficiency determination can be separated out from the constitutional issue. The court addressed the lower court addressed the constitutional issue because this court ordered them to do so, and they did, and they did it correctly. But this court doesn't need to go there because they did a factual sufficiency determination.
All right, let me ask one more question. I know the horse is dying, but I'm going to beat it one more time here. And that is the standard used by the lower court. Now, if we send this back for another factual sufficiency review, wouldn't the CCA be bound by the new provisions of Article 66?
No, Your Honor, because this occurred previously. And so they're under the old factual sufficiency review, where they have to take a fresh, impartial look at the evidence and take into account the fact that the trial court saw and heard the witnesses. But they assess the evidence in the entire record without regard to the findings reached by the trial court. So they have to make their own independent determination as to whether the evidence constitutes proof of each required element beyond a reasonable doubt, which is exactly what they did. They took into account all of the evidence. They took into account what Airman Roach's statements were to law enforcement, which was evidence that they could consider and also disregard. I mean, this court has said that CCA and fact finders can believe part of what an accused says and disregard the other part, and that includes what his statements were about the doll. The court also considered the fact that...
But do you see any equivocation in his admission that when he said it's kind of obvious that's a child sex doll, that's out of the mouth of the accused, and when he compares it to a lolly, and he defines a lolly as being between the ages of 12 and 14, could go up to 16, and so forth. Where do you see anything that they can point to? It seems like you're saying they can look at that statement and, even if it's 90-10, focus on the 10%. I'm asking, why isn't that 100% that it was childlike? Why isn't all of the evidence that is in the JA 100% that it was childlike?
Your Honor, because they had the opportunity to look at the doll on the photographs and make a determination.
Did they make any reference to that in their opinion?
No, Your Honor, they don't have to. I mean, they consider the record, and that's part of their duties, and we presume that the Air Force Court knows and follows the law. So understanding that they looked at the entire record, and they determined, I think the fact that they say that they are not convinced beyond a reasonable, or excuse me, they say they are not convinced the only rational interpretation of the evidence, and talk about what the evidence is, this court can presume they looked at the evidence. It wouldn't make sense for them to say that and have only considered witness statements. This may be a different scenario if it was only those witness statements and the photographs and the doll were not in there. But that's not the case. And so they can give more weight, should they determine that's appropriate, to what the doll looked like when they saw it with their own eyes in the photographs. Again, even if this court finds that there's an error there with their factual determination about whether the doll was childlike, there are still a minimum of two other elements that they found that the government had not proven beyond a reasonable doubt. The other thing I want to say briefly is about the remand mandate, the remand order, is that this court ordered the Air Force Court to first determine whether Airman Rocha had a constitutionally protected liberty interest under Lawrence to privately engage in sexual activity with a childlike sex doll. What the Air Force Court concluded on JA-27 is that Airman Rocha had a constitutionally protected liberty interest to privately engage in sexual activities with his doll. It is almost word for word what this court ordered them to do, minus the childlike aspect. And what the court does say at JA-34 is, we find that appellant's conduct should warrant the Lawrence liberty protection. The ostensibly childlike appearance of the doll does not dissuade us. So while they didn't find the doll to be childlike, they still consider the possibility that even if another court were to find that this was a childlike sex doll, that still does not remove it from the Lawrence protection. So they did follow this court's remand order.
Counsel, can you respond to the government's argument that it did not have to prove the aggravating factor?
Yes, Your Honor. Understanding that for the government to not have to prove this aggravating factor, I think that the court would have to find that, first, that there's no constitutional protection. This court has said that wholly private moral conduct of an individual is not criminal absent some aggravating circumstance. Understanding that was the instruction that was given to the fact finders and that's what the government was held to at trial, that they also, that applies to the Air Force Court as well. And I would argue that that's the only aggravating factor that they are held to, given that that's what was presented at trial. But even if there were other aggravating factors, or as the Air Force Court calls it, Markham factors that had to be met, the Air Force Court found that no Markham factor was met to include the specific aggravating factor of simulating sexual acts with a child. The Air Force Court was presented with a case in which an airman engaged in private, solitary sexual conduct involving an inanimate object. Whether it's sexual acts with a doll or masturbation, it's the same thing. And the Air Force Court simply held that the government failed to prove the facts that
it alleged. So you just did what the CCA did. You said inanimate object, if it's a doll, doesn't matter. It was a childlike, lifelike doll. That goes to the heart of the issue. The issue before this court, the issue before the CCA, the issue before the panel in this case, was not whether a service member has a right to engage in private masturbation, was not whether a service member has a right to engage in sex with a sex doll. The issue is, do they have a right to engage in sex with a lifelike, childlike sex doll? So, why isn't that the real distinction here that you just glided over?
Your Honor, because the Air Force Court did not find it was childlike. And so they found that Airman Abrocha was engaging in private sexual conduct with a doll, which could also be characterized as masturbation. And it was an element that had to be met. The Air Force Court evaluated the evidence and found the government did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt the first element of the offense. Because the Air Force Court did not misapply legal principles, they did not err as a matter of law in their factual sufficiency determination, this court should affirm the lower court's decision.
Further questions? Seeing none, thank you, Major Crouch.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Major Lee.
Your Honor, as appellant's counsel mentioned, the lower court had an obligation to take a fresh and impartial look at the evidence. And so that means, to circle back to your earlier question about how did the government preserve the question of whether or not we had to prove the aggravating, prove just one aggravating circumstance. The Air Force Court should have realized that the government argued other aggravating factors related to indecency, proposed them, although they were turned down. And so in that way, we preserved our ability to present those on appeal. And the Air Force Court should have looked at more than just the simulating sex with a minor and should have looked at the nature of the act, all of the things that the government argued below, to consider whether or not appellee's conduct was indecent. And by failing to do so, they failed, in a sense, to consider the entire record as they should have with a fresh and impartial point of view. And I would note, Your Honor, that the Air Force Court never actually made a finding that the doll did not have the physical characteristics of a child, because it would, I think it's fair to say, it would be unreasonable for them to find that, because that describes just the physical observable attributes of this object, this childlike sex doll. And they didn't find that. And I would also note that although the Air Force Court was moved to examine the doll for itself, the lower court declined that opportunity and still reached the decision it did. And so in a way, it hasn't given, seeing the physical doll is almost like seeing, it's like the equivalent of seeing a person that can't be replicated in a record of trial. And by declining to view the doll and then reaching the conclusion it did, it in a way did not give the, it did not recognize that the lower court saw and heard the evidence, and specifically this physical doll that's not in.
Major Lee, I thought Major Crouch said that the court did, we should presume that the court did look at the doll and carry out its responsibilities under the statute.
Your Honor, I don't think this court should presume that the court looked at the doll, because the lower court was moved specifically to examine the actual physical doll. The government offered to bring it to a military law enforcement installation for inspection, and the lower court declined to inspect it whatsoever because the fact finder got to see that doll. It went back with them. They got gloves. They got to touch it and see how lifelike that silicone felt. and we offered the same opportunity to the lower court, which they declined. And so we should not presume that they fully considered it, because they actually have not.
Well, let me ask you this other question then. Can you respond to Major Croucher's position, and forgive me if I mischaracterize it, I'm famous for that, but I think her position on the lower court's de novo review is that they weren't required to address what the military judge found. Can you respond? First of all, I hope that's an appropriate characterization of the position of the defense. But can you respond to that?
Your Honor, I see my time has expired.
Please respond to Judge Spock.
Your Honor, the lower court, although they didn't have to address the military judge's finding of fact, if they didn't, they didn't disturb it, then that finding of fact stands. And so unless the lower court disagrees with the military judge and explicitly says so, that finding...
She's saying they don't have to say so.
Well, Your Honor, I think in a case like this where, you know, of course the CCA doesn't have to step... Under the current law, the CCA doesn't have to step through every single fact that it considered and every single portion of its analysis. But the problem posed by that framework is in the context of this case is that there is, as a result, an open question of whether or not the CCA properly conducted its factual sufficiency review, whether or not it accounted for the military judge's finding of fact, whether or not it actually disagreed. And if it had disagreed, it should have made that clear, because as Your Honor asked, where is the CCA's courage and convictions? They haven't said that the doll was not, in fact, a doll with the physical characteristics of a child. And they've only said, oh, it could be a young-looking adult. But I'd submit that if that would just be if someone thought that was an adult-sized doll, that'd be an adult-sized doll with the physical characteristics of a female child. And so when the CCA has not explained why it reached the conclusion that it did, why it thinks Lawrence protects a sex doll that has the physical characteristics of a childlike sex doll, then there is an open question as to whether they've properly conducted that analysis, an open question as to how that played into their factual sufficiency, and an open question as to whether that factual sufficiency is, in fact, correct.
Absolutely. Judge Maggs first.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Why don't you go first?
Oh, thank you. What you just said goes back to, I think, the question Judge Sparks asked earlier, because in the constitutional analysis, we would be looking at Lawrence Markham for Lawrence's application to the military, and then Bowersox, when we discuss the nature of the facility. Well, is it a private home versus is it a dorm room? That's the constitutional analysis, whereas the nature of the doll itself, it to me seems to go more to the service discrediting aspect, because that's the argument that the government has an interest, and I think that you made this argument before, that the government has an interest in ensuring the readiness morale of its forces. And that the fact that it's a dorm room subject to inspection, that's the means by which the government, that's separate and apart from any constitutional analysis.
Your Honor, I would agree that the service discrediting, the way I was arguing that is separate from what we're talking about in terms of like whether or not the childlike sex doll is protected under Lawrence. Mm-hmm. But I do think the nature of the doll matters to not just whether or not the act of having sex with that doll is indecent, but also to whether or not that act should be constitutionally protected under Lawrence, because of what it looks like if someone saw a person having sex with a doll that has the physical characteristics of a female child, I think they would be repulsed because it looks like you're having sex.
But counsel, at the time of these acts, as you, in response to Judge Sparks, when he said which version of Article 66 would apply, and everyone agrees that the previous version would apply because these offenses did not occur after 1 January 2021. At the time that Airman Rocha had the doll, childlike sex dolls were not prohibited in either federal or state law, under federal or state law. And so the argument that, oh, well, of course everyone would conclude that, you know, that this was either indecent or grossly immoral, whatever, well, I would submit, actually, no, at that time everyone had not concluded that. That Congress, in fact, tried twice to get legislation and failed. So again, that's why I distinguish the liberty interest that throws, the constitutional liberty interest, from whatever interest the government may have with regards to good order and discipline and service discrediting.
Well, and I think the fact that this conduct, or, you know, the possession of childlike sex dolls hadn't been criminalized back when this conduct occurred, just reflects that the, and whereas now there are at least 10 states that have passed such laws, I think that reflects that the law evolves as society and technology evolves. And so I don't think
correct, but in that evolution, what do we hold the appellee accused to? What the community conscious was at the time of the offense, or what the community conscience is today in 2025?
Your Honor, I think we, in this particular case, because it's an Article 134 offense, where not only did we have to prove that it was indecent, that it was grossly vulgar or repugnant to common propriety, which I think even if these dolls were not criminalized, I think, objectively speaking, if it looks like you're having sex with a child because you're doing it with a sex doll that has the physical characteristics of a child, I think it's fair to say that that's grossly vulgar. But regardless, because this is an Article 134 offense where the government had to prove and proved that it was service discrediting, that in itself, the military has that general article because we have a special interest in maintaining good order and discipline and our service's reputation. And so that allows us to prosecute certain things that even if they weren't criminal on the outside, that we could hold our service members accountable for because of our special interest in the good order and reputation.
Right, but I'm saying I'm not challenging the 134 analysis. What I was challenging was we can separate those out. I think we can separate out the constitutional analysis, Lawrence, Markham, Bauer, Sox, and the rationale for whether this childlike sex doll or masturbation aid or however we want to characterize it, and the appellee's potential personal liberty interest in that from the 134 in the interest of the government. That was the point that I was trying to make. And Chief, I'll back off, because we're way over time.
Further questions?
Yes.
Max.
Counsel, the government had to prove that the conduct was service discrediting. The CCA found that it was not service discrediting. How can we review that decision?
Your Honor, I would look at the CCA's, what they actually say. As Your Honor noted, they say, oh, we think it's not service discrediting, and don't say much else. The only other time they mention it is, even considering potential discredit to the service, we find that appellee's conduct should warrant Lawrence liberty protection. And the circular reasoning is legal error, and that's why this court can review, because what they're essentially saying is, because we think Lawrence should apply, we are not going to consider the fact that some things might mean that Lawrence shouldn't apply, because the court itself acknowledged that the fact that conduct is service discrediting can by itself satisfy the Markham factors and take what would otherwise be protected conduct outside the Lawrence zone of liberty. And then, even though they acknowledged that, they went on to say, even considering that, we think Lawrence should apply. And so that circular reasoning is why this court can review that particular determination, especially given that, pardon me, the lower court appeared not to consider all the evidence, which included the appellee's own statement saying he didn't think it would be good to have a doll like that on a military base.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you, Major Lee. The case is now submitted. The court thanks counsel for both sides, and the court will stand adjourned until further order of the court.
The court stands adjourned until further order of the court.